Hi, my name is Daniel Kiram. I'm here as a volunteer at KKFI, and we're going on the topic of socialism versus capitalism, a very real struggle. Why is it that people are at each other's throats with concepts and compulsions that strongly want to control other people and notions that we own you? This is, may I be so bold to say, the natural failure of blindly pursuing a capitalistic agenda. While capitalism has brought forth a whole host of tremendous results, not to say the least of is that we can walk into grocery stores across the nation and buy an apple. This does not happen in every country. It does have its shortcomings, that if left unchecked and unregulated, will result in devastating destruction that the world and human race has never known. And so we are endeavoring to bring out the different points of capitalism as compared to the economic system that is known as socialism, with the hope of dispelling some of the myths and prejudices that have grown up around such concepts through the years of political struggle and misinformation, sometimes referred to as propaganda or alternative truth. It is hoped that some of the rhetoric surrounding the word and idea of socialism can be dispelled. While roads and libraries are the, were and are the results of socialistic practices, cars and books can be looked at as the products of capitalistic results. And so, with this introduction, I bring you someone to talk about some of the points of the economic system known as socialism. Today, we are honored to have the presence of Brandon Ellington, Representative Missouri of, I believe, the 22nd District. Hi, Brandon. Welcome to KKFI.
Now, how you doing today?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. It's a pretty nice day. It's nice and cool. So, Brandon, we have a problem in this country, and I really do see and think and believe and feel that it's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that the idea or the topic or subject that is on top of this problem has to do with capitalism, myself. And, you know, I mean, you have these people, the 0.1%, that have so much wealth, and they're getting more wealth. Our gross national product is increasing, but the working person, the you know, the lower percentage of the population is not getting a part of this production. And but these people, this small percentage, they're getting the proceeds of this increased production, and this is their idea of success. Now, how can you fault these people for success? Can I just ask you that?
You can and you can't. And the reason I said it that way, when we look at institutions and how certain institutions benefit off of imbalances, then you can actually point fingers. And I do that intentionally because when you look at the design of the system that we have here in America, you have institutions that uphold a system. More often than not, this system has been used to segregate people. It has been used to colonize. It has been used to socially oppress and socially dictate the cul-de-sacs in which communities engage in. And I can use various institutions to prove the point, from the criminal justice arena and labeling that to certain inequalities and laws that we know exist, but there's nobody in the criminal. Very few people in the criminal justice arena is trying to deconstruct it, which means they're benefiting off of that imbalance, and they know it's an imbalance in the law. So yes and no when I talk about pointing the fingers, because you can actually point fingers at people that are benefiting off the inequality, and they're doing it consciously, even though they may not be the motivating factor behind the inequality.
Yeah, I heard a gentleman speaking on the radio last Wednesday at alternative radio, David Barsimian. I believe his name was Kali Kaluno from Jackson, Mississippi. And he had a interesting statement. It was oppressed, exploited, excluded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the working class, people who are in the minority, myself included, seems like there is a campaign to make people feel oppressed, yeah, exploited, and excluded. I think a lot of people can identify with that. But I'll tell you, and what he brought out is that we are the majority.
When we pay attention, we are. Right? And that's the biggest problem that we have with our system of democracy right now. The way the rules of engagement are designed, anybody that fully now I have to separate this as I say it. Anybody that fully understands the rules of engagement should be able to benefit. Now, the reason I said I'm going to have to separate it, we didn't get to a point now where the rules of engagement is actually being controlled by those who have the most dollars, and they're changing the rules of engagement as we live. And we can look at tort reform laws, we can look at minimum wage laws, we can look at unemployment laws, we can look at some of the social service laws and statutes that we have on the books that would actually prove the point of when the rules of engagement are actually changed. It goes to your point that the 99% have a harder time of actually assimilating or generating wealth or being able to live free or being able to live liberated, not free. So our system is problematic with the way that it's growing right now, but that has everything to do with the rules of engagement being hijacked by corporate interests.
Well,
which is kind of scary.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, and corporations, they don't have, they don't die.
But they're people.
Well, some things that it's regarded as that. Yeah, I wrote this one thing. I call it Redefined Success. I heard a billionaire wants nothing more than to make another billion. Mm-hmm. That's his reality. That's his passion. That's his heart. That's his definition of success. Can it change? That is the question. That is the challenge. You know he's no fool. Where's the profit? Where's the gain? Where is the improvement? He's not going to change unless it makes sense. His decisions can affect the lives of millions. Can we come up and get agreement on a superior, healthy, improved definition of success? Our survival may depend on it. No joke, no illusion, no fantasy. Demonstrate a sustainable and superior way of life than all the money in the world can buy. Win the billionaires over, and we all will win. I wrote that during a visit at Standing Rock, where over 50 Native American tribes have come together to stop a 1,000-mile-long pipeline. And, you know, I mean, these people are being successful. I mean, they're using ploys. They're doing all this thing through the voting, redistricting. They have these think tanks. They have all this stuff going on, and they got some big bucks. And they're successful at it.
Well, it depends on, and it goes back to what you just said. It depends on what your definition of success is. So we can equate success to being taking as many natural resources away from people as I can. And I can equate that as being successful.
Yeah.
Or we can equate success as being creating sustainable enjoyment for everybody, myself and you included. So I just give you an example, a small example. In Kansas City, Missouri, we pay water bills. Kansas City doesn't generate water within itself, right? They're supposed to clean the water. That's why we have a water department, but we pay for natural resources that are already here. And we don't utilize natural resources to reduce natural energy, such as the sun or wind power, et cetera, when we could. But as a society, we typically sit back and we say those that we allow to claim success has the best motivational operations. Right, so we let them burn coal. We let them put pipelines that we know destroy natural waterways, etc. And we allow them to do that when these are natural resources. And if we was conscious, we wouldn't allow natural resources to be held hostage from us. Meaning you can't make me pay for something that's already here. You can't charge me for something that you don't own. The same we talk about land and livability and all type of things. So it is a whole bunch that we have to deconstruct and work when we talk about society, if we want to have a free, liberated society in which everybody has the right to actually enjoy happiness, or we can keep going down this trail of success being how many natural resources I can generate within myself, which really isn't successful. Depending on one's understanding of the definitions, we can say it's greedy.
Yeah, you know, I ran for State House of Representatives in 2002 in the state of Michigan. And I had a slogan. I put something in the newspapers, a couple newspapers. I didn't do too bad. I mean, I didn't win. I wasn't really trying to win at that point in that time. I just wanted to, I did it for the experience to find out what it was like. But I put this one ad in the paper, and it went something like, struggling for freedom, 1770s, American Revolution, 1860s, the Civil War. 1960s, civil rights. Present, economic equality. War against greed. Without bloodshed, through the voting booth. Let our heroes be those who alleviate suffering. And like I say, I put that in some papers, and I didn't do too bad. I mean, there's quite a few people who voted for me, but I didn't win, but I wasn't really. But I was glad for the experience. I'm glad I did it.
And it's a good experience jumping in the race and running. And as we get to talking in this conversation, I'll probably go into some of my issues with the political party and how it further solidifies the divide between natural rights and what we have as far as governmental rights right now.
But, you know, is this ethos in our society? Is in the political arena, in the business arena, the economic arena, isn't there a thing of, well, I'm going to discredit that person. I'm going to, you know, do all I can to eliminate.
It's a ruthlessness, but that's part of our underlying contract with the current structure of society, right? So the current structure of society, we celebrate those that make it through all circumstances, regardless of what they have to do. And then we bash those that fall underneath those same circumstances. And I'll give you some examples. So with extremely wealthy folks, we would look at their past and say that, all right, well, his grandfather was a bootlegger, but it's okay because he cleaned it up. And now he's a CEO of a wealthy corporation. Well, we don't do the same for the person that's poor, where, you know, his daddy was a drug addict or his daddy was a drug dealer. So he deserves to be in the same economically stressed situation because he hasn't succeeded. As opposed to going back to changing our social contract with each other and the way that we rely and engage with government, as where success is livability and happiness. And if we want to have success as livability and happiness, then the structure of government and our structure of economic emphasis has to change. It can't be who has the most resources is the most successful, because that doesn't breed anything as far as happiness. It should be who is ranting here, but it should be who is the best at X, Y, and Z, and are they doing this out of purity? And if we was to encourage and get behind folks like that, we would have a whole different social structure. But the current social structure that we have in America, it gets behind ruthlessness from the foundation of America, which is, in my opinion, robbing, pillaging, stealing. This is how this country was founded, and we have never taking a step back from those organic rules of engagement of robbing, pillaging, stealing. And I can literally break down laws that we've passed in the last 10 or 15 years that will show you that we're robbing, pillaging, and stealing, and changing the law to justify the robbing, pillaging, and stealing.
Yeah, there's a book, it's called The Rich and the Super Rich by Ferdinand Lundberg. He was an economist from, I guess, the 20s, the 30s for New York Times and Los Angeles, big papers of the day. And in one part of it, he discusses white-collar crime. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, yeah, people can be, you know, robbed of millions of dollars and they get their slap on the wrist. Mm-hmm. But some guy goes into a 7-Eleven and does a heist and he gets 15 years.
Yep.
I mean, is there something wrong with this picture?
Well, no, it definitely is. Let me give you something that we just did last week at the state of Missouri, which goes into the example that you just said and what I was trying to articulate. So this week in special session, we literally changed the law for unknown company utilizing the PSC, which is the Public Service Commission that does utility rates, etc. So cut a long story short, everybody that has an Ameren bill will have an increase in their utility bill to go for Madrid County, which is a small area in Missouri, which goes to Ameren and it goes to this unknown company if they choose to come here and build a facility. Well, in my opinion, that's robbing. We literally just robbed all of the taxpayers that has a utility bill to give to a corporation that's a monopoly. Because you can't have another utility company, where it is no other utility company out here. So, yes, it is an imbalance. Yes, it needs to be changed, but we have to start being honest with words and what words are. So the person that ran up in the gas station, like you stated, and that robbed them for a couple hundred dollars was probably doing it for necessity. They needed to eat. Well, the company that's robbing all these people out of their utility bills, they don't need it out of necessity. They're doing it out of greed. But we're not honest with it. We sit back and say, oh, well, it's a utility company. Well, no, it's natural resources they're using. And if it's natural resources, then the citizens should have more at stake than the company. The citizens should have more control than the company. Because, again, this is not anything that the company is producing. This is something that they're coming here and they're utilizing, they're repackaging and reselling it to the consumers here. So, yes, it's definitely an imbalance in white-collar crime. It's definitely an imbalance in corporate benefits the citizens can't engage in. But again, it goes back to our lacking willingness of changing our social contract in America.
Well, this brings to mind a pet peeve of mine, and that is, wow, this corporation or whatever was found guilty of, you know, fraudulent signatures on hundreds of whatever eviction notices, and this corporation was found of doing these outrageous, obviously illegal acts. And so, wow, okay, they're going to pay $100 million, a couple $100 million, whatever, but there were people who made those decisions to do what they did, and they had a lot of damage. You know, they damaged a lot of people's lives. And where is the accountability? How come nobody goes to jail?
Because we're not, and we're hitting on it, but kind of going in circles. The reason nobody's going to jail is because the folks that are, for the majority, the folks that is writing the laws are the folks that benefit, right? Not necessarily how the rules of engagement of democracy was supposed to have went down. But what we've grown to is a corporate-infused body, not just here in Missouri. It's an organization called ALEKS. So just to go off of what you were saying with the mortgage fraud and all that stuff, if you look at ALEKS, which is American Legislative Change Council, you will see that several states are passing laws that deregulate companies, that deregulate legal ramifications when companies are bad actors. And this is all done out of understanding how to control the rules of engagement. With the majority of citizens is tied up doing day-to-day life where they're too busy to actually pay attention, which is part of the game too, though. That's part of the game of control. When we talk about capitalism, separation, political control, etc. And the average citizen right now, we believe that we have to go to work 40 hours. We believe that we have to spend all our money on things that is already natural when a lot of this is being orchestrated for control, and especially with the laws. So if we was to pay attention to the laws, you would understand why somebody that works and they do something minorly illegal would get 10, 15, 20 years, and a corporation that intentionally defrauds people from mortgages, etc., will escape because they're redrafting and changing the laws to protect themselves, which is extremely scary when we talk about the future outlook of America with corporations controlling legislation.
And the idea of like socialism as being a remedy, you know, to some of the ills of society, I'd like to see that being developed and built on and actually understood.
Well, let me throw this in too, and this is to be lightweight play devil advocate. I think it has to be a medium in between both. And the reason I say that, if looking at some of our protection laws, or lack thereof of protection laws, such as identity protection, etc., the way that we're going currently, I believe that we're going into a more conformist style life form, which is scary when we talk about government being able to control resources, what people actually get, and the amount that people get. And I just wanted to kind of throw that in there, because government is meant for regulation and control. And as long as we understand that government is meant for regulation and control, I believe people can actually operate. But once we start getting into the mindset that government is for the betterment of people, then I think, I think we can get a situation where we get hemmed up.
Public office should be a public servant. Yes. Well, I'd like to, you know, spend more time with you, Brandon, and I hope that we'll have more opportunity to do so. But for right now, I just want to give you thanks.
Oh, no, we're going to be doing this a lot more, man.
How good.
Hey, thanks. Good job, both of you.
And I like the conversation.
Since this is the last Radioactive Magazine for 2017, we'll now hear some voices from the demonstrations and rallies that went on through the year. The very first one, of course, was the Women's March that happened all over the country. Here are a few voices from Kansas City on that January day, the day after Donald Trump was inaugurated. Why are you here today?
I think I would have to say I have two purposes. I do look at this as an anti-Trump rally, but I also think that human rights, women's rights, all the same, I want to be with women who are trying to make this country better and with the men who are beside us.
Thank you so much. I notice you have a shirt that says, "I support undocumented students." Is there a reason for that particular cause?
Absolutely. I taught for many years, and I believe that the Dreamers deserve every chance this country can give them. They're going to be wonderful citizens and contribute like you won't believe.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
So why are you here today?
I'm here for my wife and my daughter, and for, you know, women everywhere. But, yeah.
Since it's radio, they can't see that you're a lovely couple and you have your daughter out here with you.
Right, so, thank you.
All right.
Yeah, thanks.
Take care.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah, sure. Why are you here today?
I'm here today to support women's issues, but actually to support all people and what's going on today with the new election, because we have so much inequality that we expect to happen with the new administration, and I'm here to support social justice issues. I'm a retired registered nurse for this Affordable Care Act changes that could very well happen. It really is appalling. It's a moral issue, and of course it's a civil rights issue. So those are a few of the reasons I'm here today.
Thank you so
much. And I'm a supporter of KKFI.
I know you are. We appreciate it too. Why are you here today?
I don't like the things that Mr. Trump has been saying, and I really don't like him talking about my neighborhood as drug and crime infested. You know, it's a regular neighborhood like 100,000 across the United States.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
She's 15 years old.
Why are you here today? Introduce yourself first.
My name is Katie Gregory. I'm 15. And I'm here because he's a sexist. Our president is...
homophobic?
Yeah, he's homophobic.
Misogynistic.
He takes away people's rights, and I'm not standing for it. So that's why I'm here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're here with Cecilia, and she has a sign that says, "I stand with Muslims, immigrants, people of color, LGBT, the disabled, and women." Now, so I don't know how much you want to add to that, but tell us why you're here today.
I'm here because I feel that these people have been marginalized and targeted, and he's in a position of power, and I feel like he's using that position to kind of act like a bully is the simplest way to put it. And I'm here to stand up for people, all people, especially people that typically don't have a voice in America. So I feel that's important as a woman, as a Mexican-American, as someone that stands up for human rights in general.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Why are you here today?
My name is Kay, and I am here because there are volumes and volumes of people here standing up for the same things that I believe in. And it's not just about women. It's about inspiring everybody for all peoples and equality through love and peace.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Who are you?
I'm Bill Claus with KKFI Radio.
Okay. All right, Bill. I'm Lori Buckman.
So why are you here, Lori?
Well, it's for the rally. Actually, it's my first activist rally ever. It was just time. I'm thinking maybe that was the message Donald Trump is trying to send to us, is that we need to unite and really take a look at what government's been doing and keep our eyes and not sit back and be complacent about it anymore. So I wanted to do this. I wanted to get together for the people.
I think it's particularly important if it's your first kind of protest.
Yeah, I mean, it's time to get off the sofa and stop sitting around and talking about it and go do something peaceful, something constructive, something that moves us forward. And that's, I'm going to stay positive. That's my positive message.
Thank you, Laura. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
On April the 22nd this year, on a very rainy day, there was a march in support of science.
I'm here because climate change is an issue which affects every single one of us, and because the root cause and the root reason of why we can't get this problem solved is because of capitalism, a system which is dependent on endless economic growth and makes fossil fuels more profitable than alternatives because it is a profit over planet system. So we need to move away from capitalism and towards democratic socialism in order to solve this climate crisis.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Tell us your name, although we know what it is, and tell us why you're here.
Well, my name's Ron Faust, and so my sign said, good jobs help the earth. And that's to say that anytime we get jobs, just for jobs' sake, that destroy the earth, it's not a good job. It's a job that we should have some constructive kind of outcome to. So I'm here to protest all the hoax and fantasy lies that cannot connect, make some links to why we're in the place that we are, and Earth is in the process of being jeopardized, threatened. So, yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm part of the PeaceWorks movement, and out here to lend my support to the overall energy that's across this nation.
Thanks for all you do, Rod.
Yeah, thank you.
Tell us your name and tell us why you're here.
I'm Shella Triwala, and I'm here because I can't get my legislators to listen about anything, and I figure that peaceful protest is the only way we can make our voices heard.
Now, you're one of the many that walked in the rain to get here, aren't you?
I did, yeah.
Thanks for what you do. What's your sign say?
My sign says, weather is not the same as climate.
Well, and today was a gate. Was proof of that, right?
That's right. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, tell us who you are and why you're here.
My name's Russ Simmons, and I'm here because I realized that climate change is not a hoax. I had a sign that was written up that said, that I was holding, that says, science fiction belongs in the movies and not in the EPA.
Thanks, Russ.
You bet.
The following voices are from the May Day rally at Barney Alice Plaza on May the 1st.
My name is Lawrence Berger, and I'm here collecting signatures.
I see that in Teamster Local 41.
I am with Teamsters Local 41. I'm a UPS driver, and I'm collecting signatures for the referendum, for the petition for a referendum on right to work that was passed by Eric Greitens and the Missouri House of Senate. So that Missourians can have a voice in whether or not this legislation goes forward. We're trying to collect about 350,000 signatures by August 1st, and so far it looks like we're doing a pretty good job.
What's your name and why are you here?
My name's Bill Onash, and I'm here to show solidarity with workers in struggle on May Day.
All right. Well, thanks for being here, and thanks for your comment.
Thank you.
And on May the 6th, Stand Up KC hosted a progressive conference at UMKC.
Tell us your name. Tell us why you're here.
Kevin Kelly. And I'm here because I believe this. We've entered a new era in democracy, and to the extent that we gather in grassroots places and where we really create a movement out of the passion that's going on right now, particularly for the liberal and progressive agendas, to that extent will influence the future of what I think is the rebirth of democracy in this country. I think we're finally coming to the point where we really grapple that the next evolutionary stage of our democracy, which is really freedom for all, which is really leveling the playing field in some ways, which is really about making sure everyone is cared for through health care, through equal rights, through all the agendas that we support. So I'm here just for what we each can do in democracy is to be my 2 feet present on the ground and to be present.
Thanks for tuning in to Radioactive Magazine. Tune in next week as we'll have representatives from the 2 area leagues of women voters to talk about the busy year they're going to have in 2018. Keep your dial right here on KKFI for Counterspin, followed by Taste of Tejano, right after the following messages.